Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up to the minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Corps team.
Hello, Army families. This is Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. Tonight, our guest is author Sammy Lee Davis, here to discuss his new book, You Don't Lose Till You Quit Trying, Lessons on Adversity and Victory from a Vietnam Veteran and Medal of Honor Recipient. This is show number 564, and I'm your host, Crystal Niehaus.
And I'm your co-host, Holly Dobbins. Today is Monday, May 9th, 2016. We're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
If you're listening to our show live right now, join our show discussion taking place over on Twitter. Ask questions of our guests, comment on the show, or just hang out with the AWN Core Team. Head over to twitter.com/Army Wife Network and be sure to use hashtag Army Wife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, TDP MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with TRICARE Dental Program. Enroll today. You can learn more at www.metlife.com/TRICARE or call 1-855-MET-TDP-1.
As mentioned in our intro, we're excited to have with us tonight Sammy Lee Davis, a decorated Vietnam War hero, author, and speaker. We'll also have our Money Minutes coming up a bit later in our show. But first, welcome, Holly. So excited. This is your first time co-hosting AWTR. Tell us a little bit about yourself so we can kind of get to know you and what's going on in your Army wife life.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm an Army wife, just like everyone else, and my husband and I are stationed at Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington, and we've been there for about 3 years. And let's see, Army wife life lately. I recently, as of last week, took a week-long road trip by myself with my dog from Washington State to Florida, where my family is.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it was very interesting. I just needed to take a sabbatical type thing and kind of get away from it all and all the stresses. And my husband is away at a school, so it worked out just fine. And I got to see some amazing things that I never thought I'd get to see or experience.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That sounds really neat. So you said you drove, so it's right, like, mm-hmm. from Washington State to, where'd you go?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Wow, now that is a cross-country trip.
Yeah, it's literally from corner to corner.
Oh, how cool. So how many days did that take? Did you take your time, or?
Well, normally it would take about 4 to 5 days, and I took my time, but it took me about five or six days, roughly. But I took my time. I stopped and saw things. Like, one of the things that I really wanted to see was the rut marks from the Oregon Trail, the original Oregon Trail. And I found this really cool thing. It was like a park/state camping ground area, and they actually had, you could see the rut marks from where the land had been undeveloped. And it was just really cool to kind of step back in history. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Now, did you say that you took your pet with you? Or
yes.
Is that something I'd read on Facebook?
I brought my dog.
Your trip. Oh, how fun. Now,
yeah.
How does your dog do during car trips? Is it a he or a she?
It's a she. Her name is Bootsy. She does great. We PCS'd from Georgia to Washington with her 3 years ago. And I set her up in the back seat. She's got her blanket. She's got her bed and a water dish. And I throw snacks back at her. And she does great. She looks out the window and has a good time.
Aww. What kind of dog is she?
She is a long-haired Chihuahua. But she's a blue Merle.
So she's a nice little dog.
Yeah, she's a little dog. Mm-hmm.
Oh, how cool. Well, that's neat. That must have been fun. Did she get to see any of the sights with you?
Oh, absolutely. I took her everywhere, and I made sure that they'd let me bring her. And, you know, she got to see it all, too. She wasn't too thrilled with the rut marks of the Oregon Trail, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Oh, how cool. So you went from Oregon then, and then where was some of your next stops?
I went through Oregon, down to Idaho, and then I can't remember which state was next. But then I went through one of the big ones I was excited about was going through Wyoming and Nebraska and Missouri and Kentucky and Tennessee, down to Georgia, and then to Florida.
Oh, wow. So what's some
yeah.
of your other favorite things that you saw along the way?
Well, my husband and I are huge Hell on Wheels fans. I don't know if you've heard of this TV show, but it's all about railroad. It's all about the old railroad and how the Pacific Railroad and the Eastern Railroad met and how they built it across the country. And so one of the big things on the TV show is they do a railroad hub in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And so I got to go and see the original Wyoming Territory Railroad, and that was really cool. My husband was super jealous.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
That's cool. So what was your favorite part of the whole trip?
Honestly, I think it was... Because there was a couple of days where I didn't have internet or data on my phone because there were no Sprint towers. And that's my carrier. I have Sprint. And it was nice because I just got to be present by myself with nature in the car. I mean, I was in the car and I had my dog with me.
Cool.
But my phone wasn't dinging every 5 seconds. And so that was really nice for me to unwind and disconnect, and yeah, that was good.
I think that's something we all need to do, or at least challenge ourselves to do, because we're so connected to our phones now.
Yeah.
You know, everything's at our fingertips, and that's great, but it's not so great because everybody expects instant access to you.
Exactly.
It's kind of nerve-wracking. You know, there's no peace in that. And sometimes you just need the tranquility of stepping back and saying, okay, I'm going to be present, like you said, where I'm at in this moment with the people I'm with and with nature and unwind and be okay with not being at everybody else's fingertips, you know? We're kind of a fast, it's sort of like fast food. Everybody wants it right now, you know, microwaves and now telephones and internet, and everybody wants access right now. And so for me, it's kind of chaotic.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
Except when
so
I say that and then. Oh, I love to talk about you.
Everybody else. Well, but I want to hear about you.
Oh, my
goodness.
What's
been going on with you?
Well, I had an awesome Mother's Day.
Good.
I'm just so blessed. so blessed. I don't know who all knows, but I've got 5 children total. I've got 3 grown and gone, and 2 still at home. And and my husband and my kids, it's like they were so sweet. My husband I'm a huge coffee drinker, and so he made sure that I got a beautiful bouquet. My favorite color is yellow. And aww. I'm one of those that like the lesser flowers. I'm always rooting for the underdog. And so my favorite flower is the daisy because I think it gets
all I love daisies.
And so it was mostly daisies, white and yellow daisies, and it had some yellow roses in there because I love yellow. And a yellow bow and a coffee mug that I can use after the flowers wilt. And so, and then precious moments. I collect precious moments, and so each of the kids got me a precious moments figurine. And so it was just they took me out to dinner, and it was so hilarious. My son, he's 11, and he tries to mirror what my husband does. And my husband still, even after all this time, still opens the car door for me most of the time. Well, my son Seth is taken to that too. And so yesterday, since it was a special day, they were racing each other to get the door for me.
Oh, darling. So I love that.
So it was so neat. And then we took a drive around Belton Lake because we're here at Fort Hood, Texas. And so we're exploring the area because we're still finding new places, and I love exploring. So it was so great. I had so much
That's
fun.
That's so
yesterday.
Great.
I was so blessed. So,
well, I'm happy for you.
Yeah, it was great. So I loved it. But it's time for us to take a quick break. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
If you're stationed away from home, how can your voice be heard? Get your absentee ballots on time, wherever you are. Here's how. Go to fvap.gov and fill out your federal postcard application, or FPCA. Go to fvap.gov to get started.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, like a date with my wife, or going out together with my family and friends. Things that we couldn't afford, thanks to VetTix.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, motorsports, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can help. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Find out how by visiting www.vettix.org. That's www.vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
Ready!
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives, a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
It's time to discuss some hot topics. The Exchange has a hot contest going on this month. Exchange Patriot Pet Contest goes to the dogs and cats and birds. Military shoppers who think they have a top dog or cat or bird or reptile can try to fetch their share of $3,000 in prizes during the Army and Air Force Exchange Services Patriot Pet Just Say Treat online photo contest. From May 6th through June 2nd, authorized shoppers can upload a photo of their exchange.com/sweepstakes One grand prize winner in the worldwide contest will take home a $1,000 exchange gift card, while two first place winners will each receive $500 gift cards. Four third place winners will nab 250 gift cards each. For many soldiers and airmen, pets are very much an important part of their family, providing love and companionship and easing stresses of daily duties, said Air Force Chief Master Sergeant Sean Applegate, Exchange Senior Enlisted Advisor. With the Patriot Pet Contest, Exchange salutes these furry, fuzzy, feathered, and sometimes even scaly members of our military family. Rules and for more information about the contest can be found at shopmyexchange.com/sweepstakes. Just Say Treat winners will be notified toward the end of June, and we'll also be posting a link to that in our Twitter feed tonight.
What's hot on AWN this week? Deployments are funny things. They are, of course, very much a challenging part of the Army wife life, and they are always full of surprises. AWN Editor-in-Chief Sherita shares in her latest blog post a comedic comparison, deployment beginning versus the end. She's taken some time recently to reflect and really ruminate on her personal behaviors during her husband's recent deployment. The most surprising thing she shares that she has learned is the drastic difference between the beginning and the end of a deployment on the home front. And since humor is one of her primary coping mechanisms, a reason, she says, her house is still standing some days, she presents to you a comedic comparison of the beginning versus the end of a deployment. Read more on our AWN blog at www.armywifenetwork.com/acomedic comparison.
And hot in our AWN social media, this week we asked our Facebook and Twitter followers, what household appliance would you not be able to live without? Which one could you ditch with no problem? Our readers had a lot to say about this one. I love what one reader had to say. I couldn't live without the fridge. I can make a fire so I can cook outside. I can wash clothes or dishes by hand. I can hang them out to dry, but I need to keep my food cold, and I love ice cream and cold drinks, so I keep the fridge. Another reader shared, we got rid of our coffee pot and toaster after the last PCS. It's been over 2 years, and I would hate to be without a refrigerator again. So what household appliance could you not live without, and which one could you ditch? Share with us. Hop on over to our Facebook page and look for the discussion dated May 2nd. We'll also be posting a link to this hot conversation in our Twitter feed for you. So, Holly, what household appliance could you absolutely not live without, and what one could you give up with no worries?
So I've thought about this a lot since this question was posted. I was a Girl Scout, so I'm pretty capable of kind of, you know, getting – doing my thing out in the woods and whatever. But I think I have to agree, like, I love ice water and iced tea and, like, really cold things, probably because I'm in Florida right now and it's literally, like, 95 degrees. But I think going without the refrigerator and the freezer would probably – I'd probably be very, very miserable.
Right. Yeah, I think that I would need my refrigerator, and I need my coffee maker, and my dryer. You know, I was thinking about that because I do most of my ironing in the dryer because I don't like to iron. So I would have to have my dryer, or I would go around completely wrinkled all the time. So I could probably get by without my toaster because, you know, you can kind of toast on a griddle or – you know, something like that. I don't do a lot of toasting in the toaster, so I could probably deal with that.
Well, my husband eats a bagel every single morning for breakfast, so I don't know if he would survive without a toaster, but I certainly would.
Oh. Well, yeah, there was certainly a lot to be said on there, so that's a great discussion. So, Holly, tell us about our PSA this week.
So, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit to one per show, and we ask that you email them to us 10 days in advance to info@armywifenetwork.com. Have you or anyone you've loved suffered from depression, anxiety, or PTSD? 22 veterans and one active duty soldier take their lives every day due to such conditions. The Atkins 5K was organized in hopes of preventing this growing epidemic of soldier suicide. A virtual run is offered this year to support this cause. Run at your own place, on your own time, while still receiving the shirt and the medal. Proceeds for this year go to 4 young children who became victims of this tragic epidemic. Registration is $25 if you sign up before May 20th. Go to www.atkins5k.com for more information or find them on Facebook at facebook.com/Atkins5K. Atkins 5K, presented by the University of Central Missouri Office of the President and the UCM Military Veterans Affairs. That is it for our PSA. Coming up next, after these quick commercial breaks, is AWN's News 6th Gen, bringing you the need-to-know stories, and we'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family's smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. But don't forget, TRICARE Dental coverage requires enrollment. TRICARE medical program options do not include TRICARE dental coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Kathy Ireland for the Will Rogers Institute.
Are you worried that your kids aren't spending enough time being physically active? The best fitness is family activity. Ride bikes, play soccer, or just take a walk through the neighborhood. The important thing is to get your children moving with you. For more information on family activities and fitness, call the Will Rogers Institute.
Call toll-free 877-957-7575 or visit wrinstitute.org and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details.
You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 Gen, bringing you all your need-to-know news. The Defense Department has revealed that there are U.S. troops on the ground in Yemen. A small number of U.S. troops are deployed on the ground in Yemen to help fight the al-Qaeda affiliate there that was controlling a major port city, a defense official said Friday. A Pentagon spokesman declined to say how many U.S. troops are there supporting operations led by the Yemeni military and United Arab Emirates around the port city of Mukalla. The U.S. troops deployed about 2 weeks ago and are at a fixed location providing intelligence support as well as airborne advice and assistance with operational planning, maritime interdiction, and security operations, medical support, and aerial refueling, the Pentagon spokesman, Navy Captain Jeff Davis, said. We view this as short-term, Davis said of the deployment, noting that the al-Qaeda faction has mostly withdrawn from the city after an attack in late April by Yemeni and Emirati troops. The Army has shrunk to its smallest level since before World War II. The Army's latest headcount shows that nearly 2,600 soldiers departed active service in March without being replaced, an action that brings manning to its lowest level since before World War II. During the past year, the size of the active force has been reduced by 16,548 soldiers, the equivalent of three brigades. Barring unexpected delays, the Army is well positioned to achieve or exceed its budgeted end strength of 475,000 soldiers by September 30th, the end of fiscal year 2016. Without Congressional or Defense Department intervention, the drawdown will continue for two more years, with end strength hitting 460,000 soldiers in 2017 and 450,000 in 2018. The latest official demographics from the Defense Manpower Data Center shows that, in addition to the 479,172 soldiers who were on active duty April 1st, the Army's reserve forces totaled 548,024 soldiers, for a total force of 1,027,196 soldiers. The drawdown master plan calls for a total army of 980,000 soldiers by September 30th, 2018. Companies are joining forces to hire or train 100,000-plus veterans and military spouses. First Lady Michelle Obama and Dr. Jill Biden announced Thursday that since the White House's Joining Forces initiative was created in 2011, companies have hired or trained more than 1.2 million veterans and military spouses. The initiative focuses on helping veterans find jobs and helping military spouses keep meaningful employment if they have to move. They always have our backs, and they need to know that all of us have theirs, Biden told representatives from companies that make it a priority to hire and train veterans. Along with the announcement from Obama and Biden, 40 companies pledged to hire more than 110,000 veterans and military spouses over the next 5 years, and more committed to training them. Jeff Bezos, founder and CEO of Amazon, vowed to hire 25,000 veterans and military spouses in the next 5 years. We're constantly looking for leaders who can invent, think big, have a bias for action, and who want to deliver for customers, he said. Those principles look very familiar to the men and women who served our country in the armed forces, and also their spouses. Amazon also committed to training 10,000 veterans and spouses in cloud computing. This would offer a path to Amazon Web Services certification and provide entry into a high-demand, good-paying field, Bezos said. The aerospace defense sector pledged to hire a combined total of 30,000 veterans, and the telecommunications sector committed to hiring a combined total of 25,000. Obama said companies didn't make these commitments because she and Biden asked them to, or because it's the patriotic thing to do. They made these commitments because time and again, they saw for themselves that our veterans and military spouses are simply the best employees around, she said. And they realized that training and hiring these folks isn't just the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do for their bottom lines. That's all the news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Wife Network's Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Gen, signing off.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationIntouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Holly Dobbins. Tonight, we have with us Sammy Lee Davis, author of You Don't Lose Till You Quit Trying, Lessons on Adversity and Victory from a Vietnam Veteran and Medal of Honor Recipient. Sammy Lee received the Medal of Honor in 1968 for his actions during the Vietnamese attack on Fire Base Kujil in November 1967. He has also received multiple other military decorations, including the Silver Star and the Purple Heart. His civilian accolades include Newsweek's 100 Unsung Heroes, and receiving the Joe Foss Institute's annual award is an honorary chief of the Native American Lenni Lenape tribe and recipient of the Oglala Sioux Red Feather, the tribe's equivalent to the Medal of Honor. The Promise, a speech Sammy Lee delivered in Washington, D.C., has been entered into the congressional record, along with several other of his addresses.
Fresh out of high school, he enlisted in the Army in September of 66 and was deployed to Vietnam in March of 1967. Subsequently, he was assigned to a 105mm howitzer crew with Battery C, 2nd Battalion, 4th Artillery, 9th Infantry Division. Less than 2 months after the attack on Fire Base Kujil in November, during which he suffered massive injuries, Sammy Lee returned to his artillery unit when still on crutches and hooked to an IV bottle. Not fit for combat, he finished his tour in Vietnam, serving his unit as a cook and ration truck driver. Back in the United States, Sammy Lee got married and finished his enlistment at Fort Hood, Texas, promoting the military on university campuses at the height of the anti-Vietnam War movement. Upon leaving the military, he returned to Illinois and worked for Champion Laboratories and then for Central Illinois Public Service while serving as a volunteer explosive instructor for the National Guard. In 1983, Sammy Lee's health failed and was put on full disability. He now spends most of his time traveling throughout the United States and abroad to attend speaking engagements. When not on the road, he and his wife, Dixie, live in Freedom, Indiana, and together they have 4 children and 15 grandchildren. Welcome to the show, Sammy Lee. How are you today?
We're doing excellent. Just glad to hear from y'all.
Well, so glad to have you on. To start off, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
We're calling from home, which is Freedom, Indiana. And we're just
awesome.
Honored to be able to talk to everyone that's listening tonight.
Tell us about your family. Do you have children in the military?
The 2 oldest children, one a boy, one a girl, both served in the military. Tony, the son, was in the 9th Infantry Division, the same division that I served in Vietnam. Now, he was not in Vietnam, naturally, but afterwards. And daughter Nicole served 8 years in the military. She was 4 years in the Army and 4 years in the Air Force. And she decided to get out to, she said, Dad, I think I would like to get out to get married and have children. And she has 5 kids. So she was serving.
Wow, awesome. Now, do they all live close by to where you live, or are they kind of spread out?
The oldest son, Tony, lives in West Monroe, Louisiana, and he has 6 children, and Nikki lives in Flat Rock, Illinois, and they have 5 children, and Bo's son lives in Flat Rock, and they have 2 children, and Blue, the youngest one, lives in Bloomington, Indiana, and he has 2 children.
Oh, wow. Big families. Love big families. So
yes,
tell us,
ma'am,
a little
I
bit
do
how
too.
You earn. And I bet they're proud of you and you're proud of them.
Well, I'm certainly proud of them.
So how did you earn your medal?
By doing for my brothers what I knew in my heart they would do for me. I swam across the river and brought three of my brothers back under extenuating circumstances.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the what happened? Do you mind chatting about that?
Yes, ma'am. Have you seen the movie Forrest Gump?
Yes.
Do you know how Forrest earned his Medal of Honor?
He got shot in the rear end, if I recall.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm the real Forrest Gump. They based the military portion of Forrest Gump on me and my life. And when the president is putting the Medal of Honor around Forrest Gump's neck, that is my actual film footage. They used my actual film footage of when Johnson awarded me the medal. They just put Tom's face.
Wow.
So if you know how Forrest earned his
heaven.
Medal, that's how I earned mine. There were 42 of us artillerymen and 1,500 of the enemy. They preceded mass assault waves coming at us, 150, 200 at a time, and we kept battling them all night, and we didn't quit trying. And we all did for each other what we knew that our brothers would do for us.
That's amazing.
My men that put me in for the Medal of Honor. You don't put yourself in for the Medal of Honor. It's your brothers that you served with. So I was very honored when I was in the hospital that they came and told me that, well, your men have put you in for the Congressional Medal of Honor. And I was just blown away by that.
So have you stayed in contact with any of them over
the
years?
Yes, ma'am. Next week we're having a reunion in Sarasota, Florida. And there's going to be...
Oh, how great.
There's only going to be five of us that was actually at Firebase Cudgel, but there's going to be 40 of us that served in the same unit, and we all knew each other, but they didn't go to Firebase Cudgel with me. We only had four guns out at Firebase Cudgel. The artillery is very air mobile. We were all officers.
So can I ask how you were treated when you returned home from Vietnam?
You certainly may, ma'am. It's been long enough now that I've cooled out enough I can talk about it.
Yeah.
When I left Vietnam, I had just made corporal, and they issued me a brand new khaki uniform with my corporal stripes on it, and the picture that I still have of my mom and dad at the end of World War II, and walking arm in arm, walking down the streets of Savannah, Georgia, was that the military base, Stuart there. And
Fort Stewart.
Dad was in his khaki uniform with corporal stripes on, and I was so proud that here I was coming home from my war, dressed just like my dad, khaki uniform and corporal stripes. Well, we flew in to Travis Air Force Base and then went through the end processing. It took 3 days, 72 hours of standing in line. And on the last day, they had broke us down into groups of 100. And our group, the sergeant told us that, well, how many of you have civilian clothes? Well, none of us had civilian clothes. And they said, well, okay, we can't let you go to the airport in San Francisco in military clothing because there will be too many people there that will protest you and create problems. So we got on the bus and we went, took us to the commissary, and we all bought clothes. Now, we didn't buy suits and all that. We bought jeans and T-shirts, and, I had all they had that we wanted to buy was a Hanes V-neck T-shirt with a pocket and Levi 501 blue jeans and high-top tennis shoes. And that's what we all bought because they didn't have any other kid clothes. So that's what here. So we put our clothes on and went back and fell out in the parking lot. And the sergeant looked at us all and said, okay, you got civilian clothes, so get on the bus. We'll take it to the airport. Well, then on the way to the airport, which, I don't know, took a couple-hour drive, he explained to us what the protesters there had been doing. And he said, it's just unreal. They'll do anything to get on TV. So don't fall in that trap. Excuse me, I've got to cough, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. And so when we got to the airport, well, we unloaded and grabbed our duffel bag, and there were three of us flying from San Francisco back to Indianapolis, Indiana. And so we got together and headed towards the Eastern Airlines counter and got our tickets. And when we only had, I think it was 3 hours before the flight left. So we went down through the lobby and went down the concourse where our aircraft was to depart from. And when we came around the corner of the main lobby into that concourse, well, there was about 20 hippies there. And they were all dressed out in the traditional hippie attire, you know, the long silk gowns and the long greasy hair and the rope around their waist for a belt. And that was the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were ladies also. Well, the head hippie comes kind of traipsing up to me and said, "Hey, dude, if you want to get to your gate or to your aircraft, you will have to run our gauntlet." Well, I knew what a gauntlet was. And I kind of stepped back to the other two guys, and I said, "Well, guys, what are we going to do?" And one of the other kids said, "Well, you remember what the sergeant told us, you know, that they're willing to do anything to get on TV." Well, we didn't see a TV at that moment, but we said, so I said, "Okay, we won't run your gauntlet, we'll walk your gauntlet." So we picked up our duffel bags, the hippies formed a big long line, and we started marching right down their gauntlet. And they had bags tied onto their, or that were tucked under their rope belts, like little brown lunch bags. And what they had done, they'd picked up everything out in the yard after their dog had been there. And so they started putting rubber gloves on immediately and reaching into their bag, and then they were smearing that in our hair and then trying to get it in our ears, our mouth. We all had nice white T-shirts on, and they were smearing it on our T-shirt. And when we didn't respond the way they wanted us to, well, then they also had they were clubs. They said they were walking canes, but they were big clubs. And we started getting hit. Well, I heard the kid behind me, he was from Wabash, Indiana, and I heard Wabash go, "Oh!" And I looked over my shoulder, and they'd hit him on the forehead, and he was bleeding down on his white T-shirt. And that just fried me, but we kept marching. I kept calling cadence, actually, left, right, left, right. And when we finally got through the hippies, and we cleared them by about 20 foot or so, and we set our duffel bags down, and then we turned and looked at each other, and all of us were bleeding. Now, we didn't have major cuts on us, but what the clubs made, we were bleeding pretty bad, because when you get hit on the head, you bleed, and our T-shirts were all red, and we looked at each other, and we knew that three of us was getting ready to take out 20 hippies, and we just started right from where we had just started the gauntlet at, there was a TV camera. They had kept the TV camera hidden until we actually started the gauntlet, and then the TV, it was Channel 5, I believe, Channel 5 Live, and we could see the red light blinking. And so we stopped and we looked at each other, and I called attention and we saluted the camera. And we went and picked up our duffel bags and headed down to where our gate was, and I don't remember which gate it was. Well, the stewardesses there had already heard of what had just happened, and they could see that we were the ones involved because we were still had blood all over our T-shirts and everything. And that's when you had to walk outside to your aircraft, and they took us outside and put us on the aircraft and put us in first class. That's back when first class was first class. And they took our T-shirts off of us and washed us up and gave us long-sleeved white shirts, which were probably the pilot shirts, and gave us a glass of champagne. And we toasted each other, and I said, "Well, you know, life is good." And when we landed in Indianapolis, well, we had called our parents, naturally. And our parents were all there, and family members, and they had big signs, you know, "Welcome home, son, we love you." So some of the welcome homes were good, and some of the welcome homes weren't so good, but we try to remember the ones where our parents were at, where everybody said they loved us.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's shameful, the treatment that you received by your fellow countrymen that you were there to defend. You know, I mean, you were serving your country. But I want to tell you now, that just touched me. I'm so honored.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with you.
Lessons learned, it's okay to protest a war. And it is. It's okay to protest war. If you don't agree with it, by all means, go out and say something about it. But it is never acceptable to protest the warrior. And that's the difference that people have to learn.
Exactly. They're doing.
We're doing what
duty.
We, the people, sent us to do. Because either directly or indirectly, we were there doing what we, the people, had allowed to happen. And if you don't want your kids over there, then get involved locally, get involved nationally, and make sure that we elect people that reflect the same values that you have in your heart. And that's how we control what happens in America.
Right. And thank you for your service. I want to make sure I say that because my uncle served in Korea during the same era and was treated terribly when he came home. And it's shameful. It's just saddening that people would treat service members that are just they're going out there to defend our country. You know, whether you agree with the war or not, like you said. So I just want to say thank you and for your service and that you held. I love how you said that you and your unit saluted the cameras. You kept your dignity mm-hmm. when they were trying to.
Yes, ma'am. I've been trying to get that footage for 40-some years, and they can't find the footage because I know they had it, and as far as I know, they never showed it, but they can't find the footage. And it was about a month later that General Westmoreland educated me on how I was to go about getting that footage, and they contacted the station, and they said, oh, we don't have that footage. We've already erased it or taped over it or something, so we never did get it. To have it documented on what the hippies did to us.
Well, they probably were too ashamed of themselves, I would think, to air that. But that it would be nice if you could get a hold of that footage someday. So,
well, if we haven't found it in, 40, a whole lot of years, they probably ain't going to find it. So.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
But
well,
the
we
lesson learned is that
real...
let us all take part in America and stand up for whatever it is that you feel is right in your heart and start on a local level and elect people that represent what you feel in your heart and then on a state level do the same thing and then on a national level do the same thing. And that's how we get people there that reflect the values that you have in your heart. That's how we make America work, we the people.
That's right. That's right. Well, I'm sorry, we do have to take a quick break. So just if you wouldn't mind staying on the line, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're going to, when we come back, if we could talk more, you're highly decorated. If we could talk more about some of your awards and medals and kind of why you decided to write this book.
Yes, ma'am.
That would be awesome. So we'll be back with more Army, with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Thank you, Crystal.
Finding a career that's right for military life has its challenges, but CareerStep offers a great solution. Thanks to MyCAA funding, military spouses who qualify can complete any of CareerStep's courses for a variety of healthcare careers with no out-of-pocket expenses. CareerStep even includes a laptop at no additional charge for most programs. With online courses you can fit around your schedule, CareerStep offers the flexibility required for a military lifestyle. It's a great way to train for rewarding, in-demand careers whenever and wherever you are. Visit careerstep.com/military to learn more today.
As a member of the military, it's not a matter of if, but when you'll be ordered to make a permanent change of station, or PCS. This is a Command Your Cash Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. Here are three things you can do to ease your financial path before those PCS orders come down. Build a PCS fund. Start saving before you receive orders to move. This money will cover upfront costs such as travel expenditures and unreimbursed expenses like utility deposits. Know how you'll live on a single income. Realize that it may take your non-military spouse several months to find a new job, and there's no guarantee the new job will pay as well as the previous one. find ways to cut expenses before the move. Consider trading down to a less expensive car or renting until you know where you stand financially. The first step is to create a budget. The financial counselors found that most military installations can help you develop a budget and meet your financial goals. This Commander Cash Minute has been brought to you by the USAA Education Foundation. Visit usaaef.org today.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with author and Medal of Honor recipient Samuel Lee Davis. Before we went to break, we were discussing how he was wounded in Vietnam and that he is the real-life Forrest Gump.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you tell us a little bit more about, you have numerous other medals and awards, a Purple Heart and a Congressional Medal of Honor, Silver Star. I mean, you're highly decorated. Would you maybe tell us a bit about that? And we are proud that you did. So how did you earn some of those?
Well, the Medal of Honor I earned by swimming across the river and bringing back three of my brothers. The battle started at 2 o'clock in the morning and didn't end until a little after 8 in the morning. So it was a pretty long battle as far as battles go. Received one Purple Heart there. The next Purple Heart I've got some shrapnel, and later on, you know, a couple months later, and got another Purple Heart from that. The Silver Star was awarded for action on the same night that I received the Medal of Honor. And after having the Purple Heart for 47 years, after having the Silver Star for 47 years, I got a letter from the Pentagon last year telling me that they had revoked the Silver Star because it sounded too close to the Medal of Honor action. And after 47 years, I didn't feel like I should argue with them, so I took the Silver Star off. It is still on my military record, but I don't wear it any longer.
Oh, no, that's just so sad.
Well, when you read the citation for the Silver Star, It was the same battle, but I was awarded the Silver Star for doing earlier than what I received the Medal of Honor for. But the Pentagon believed that it was too close to the Medal of Honor citation, so they decided to take off the Silver Star, which is okay. You know, they're the boss.
So can you tell us why you decided to write your book?
Well, actually, my wife, Dixie, was writing her book, and she said, well, Sam, you need to write your book, too. And I said, well, okay, because I've been thinking about writing it for 40-some-odd years, but I'll do it next month or I'll do it next week or whatever. And so I've started writing my book, and she was writing her book, and between the two of us, we dwelled in Vietnam, and then after Vietnam, my book starts how I earned the medal and then goes back and talks about, well, what kind of childhood did I have that would set me up to be the type of person that I would earn the Medal of Honor in Vietnam. And so my co-author, Carolyn Lambert, helped me figure that out and get it all squared away. My book goes from when I was a very small child and continues up through Vietnam, military years, and up until after I received the Medal of Honor, and that's when Dixie's book takes over, was after my wife, Peggy Jo and I were married for 35 years, and she died from cancer.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And Dixie's husband, Tim Taylor, passed away before Peggy Jo did, but we were all good friends. Tim was a three toured Navy corpsman in Vietnam, and when he came home, he was an entertainer, major entertainer in the veteran world, and he would be, him and Martin and Holiday was the two men that put on the show, and they would go around and do lots of veterans programs, big, all the big veterans reunions. Martin and Holiday were the stars of it. Well, I had known Tim since the 70s, so we had all been very good friends. Well, Tim came down first sick. He had throat cancer. And as a singer, that was even more of a tragedy. Mm-hmm. So, but when they would go to the East Coast or wherever they had to go to get new radiation, that they would call us and say, well, do you know anybody else? They had a motorhome, and they would need some place to park the motorhome at nights and then go back to the hospitals during the day. And I said, yeah, I know people there. I know people in that town, New York City, or wherever they were at. And so that's how we kept in contact. Well, Tim passed, and then what, 2 years later, Dixie, three?
Four.
Oh, four years later, Peggy Jo passed from cancer. And I've always loved Dixie. She was my brother's wife. She was my sister. I was cleaning my desk off in the office. I have a lot of phone ledgers where people call in to ask me to come speak at different events, and I write them all down, all the information down. So I've got stacks of those books. And now I'm a stacker, but they're neat stacks. And I was moving the stacks, and one of the books slipped off and fell, and a note on a yellow piece of paper fell out of one of the books, and in Peggy Jo's handwriting, it said, call Dixie. And it landed face up on my desk.
Wow.
It said, call Dixie,
oh.
And had a phone number. So I sat down, and I called Dixie. And that started the conversation, and then we started emailing much more often, and then we decided, well, it's been quite a while since we've seen each other. Let's get together. So we had a reunion and at Skidmore Freedom Fest in Skidmore, Missouri, and a year later, we were married there. So,
oh, my goodness, what a beautiful story.
And that's Dixie's book of Endless Love.
Second. Okay, her book. Oh, awesome. Okay, so her book, I'm writing this down. Okay.
And she's sitting here beside me if you'd like to speak to her about it.
Oh, that would be great.
All righty. Yes, ma'am. This is Dixie.
Oh, I wasn't prepared for this.
Well, I won't keep you long, but I didn't know you were an author, too.
He's pretty close, but you know how guys are. They don't have it quite right.
Right?
He's pretty close. I wrote our whole love story because it was very unusual, and we wanted to give people hope. You know, everybody's gone through something terrible in their lives. It may not be the loss of your spouse, but everybody's gone through something. And so I started writing about that and decided that, well, maybe if I can give one person hope. And I explained how I made it through. And just one day you have to decide that you're going to start living again. And then, so I went into how our love story developed because it was so unusual. And then I talk about all the great things we get to do in our life because we really have an interesting life. We get to travel and meet fantastic people. And something funny is always happening to me. So I put a lot of that in the book. And for some reason, when he wrote one day, he said, Dixie, how are you doing? And I just sat and stared at the computer screen. And I thought, what do I answer? Because I knew him, but not well enough to, get into any details. But I knew what he was doing. Peggy Jo had passed away recently. And most people, when you lose a spouse, most people don't want to talk about it because they think you're going to feel sad or cry. And the person that lost somebody really needs to talk about it. So that's what we did by email. And then we just kept on writing. And for some reason, I saved them all. I think it was like saving love letters from like World War II. You know, only it was on a computer. So I saved them all. And then I kept thinking, you know what? Someday that'd make a great book. And so I just kept talking about it. And the other thing, we do a lot of genealogy in my family. And we have a chart on my mom's side that goes back to 1704. And I have all these grandma names. And they're nothing but a name on a piece of paper. And I thought, you know, if Sam and I write books, those great-great-grandkids will know that we were real. So that's why we did it.
Oh,
and
they're so precious.
Yeah, it took 2 years, but we're really happy. I don't think we'll ever do it again, but it was really, really hard. It's hard to go back and pull up all the emotions that you go through. It's very hard for Sam. He had to relive the battles in Vietnam. And the childhood part's fun because he had a crazy childhood. But it's hard to do, so we're glad to have it done. And I'm sorry it talked so long. I will give him that.
No, you are great. And I hope it's okay. We found the links to your books, and so we're posting them in Twitter so that our listeners can grab those too.
Oh, that is so sweet of you. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad I got to speak with you. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Sammy, you travel around the country speaking, and what is the one question that's most often asked?
How did you earn the Medal of Honor? That's whether I'm speaking to kindergartners, universities, or corporations, that's usually one of the first questions that's always asked. Well, how did you earn the Medal of Honor? So I get to tell the story quite often.
Wow. That's neat.
And the story's on YouTube. You can YouTube my name, and that's one of the YouTube videos that comes up. And it's a good, they've done a good job.
Oh, great.
So, Sammy, I have a question. When you travel and you go to the public and you go and you talk to school children, what message do you like to try to convey?
Whether it's to the school children or to corporations, what I try to share with them is the fact that no matter what you're faced with, you don't lose until you quit trying. Now, I learned that lesson very well in Vietnam, but that's one thing that I think it's important that we need to understand and share today is no matter what we're faced with, you don't lose until you quit trying. I've had so many people that's in the military today come up to me and say, well, Sergeant Davis, when you visited me when I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico in school and in the third grade, and you came and told us your story and told us that you don't lose till you quit trying. And this was a young man in Afghanistan a couple years ago, and he said, here I am, and I still haven't lost because I still haven't quit trying. And I said, well, son, I'm proud of you. Hua.
That's a message that everybody needs to hear, that don't give up. Keep trying.
Yes, ma'am. That's one of the things I believe in, definitely. You don't lose till you quit trying.
So I understand that you're returning to Vietnam this summer. Why are you going back?
Well, that's something that I've wanted to do for 48 years, and I thought, well, 48 years ago, I thought, well, I'll go back next year. You know, I'd like to go back and visit the places that I've served in, and it's been 48 years. At 70 years old, I decided that, well, I better go this year because I may not be here next year. So that's why we're going back. Jim Dyster, one of the three men that I swam across the river for, and his wife Rita are going with us. Dixie and I is gone. We're taking several friends from California with us, and we're going to stand on the riverbank where I pulled Jim Dyster up out of the river.
Wow.
So that's going to be very awesome to have our wives there for support. So it's going to be great. It is going to be emotional,
beautiful.
But it's going to be great.
Yeah, beautiful and emotional, and it's all, oh, that's so great. I'm kind of jealous. I kind of want to go with you guys. So
I need somebody to do my hair. You can go.
Oh, I would love to do your hair. I would love to, Miss Dixie.
Okay, that's settled.
So how do you feel about today's military? I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was talking, didn't hear what you said, ma'am.
How do you feel about today's military?
How do I feel about today's military? Today's military is the best that this nation has ever gathered. And I believe that 100%. Not saying that my daddy's army wasn't good, my grandpa's armies weren't good, or my army wasn't good. It's just the young people that we have in the military today are the finest that this nation has ever put forward.
And
I do believe that with all my heart.
That's inspirational. I appreciate that you say that. And I do appreciate that our culture today is more supportive of our military.
Yeah.
And that hopefully we've learned some lessons from
yes, ma'am.
The tragic reception that our service members had back in the days of Vietnam. So, Sammy, where can our listeners go to purchase your book?
Amazon.com has Dixie and I both have books there on Amazon.com. You can go to any of the bookstores, like Barnes & Noble or whatever bookstores in your local community, and that's my books there. Now, Dixie's book, she's self-published, so you have to get it from Amazon.com. But my book is in all the bookstores, too. So,
or when we travel.
Yeah, or they can, if you see that we're coming to your town, we'll have books with us and just come out and buy a couple books. We can square you away, no problem.
Oh, great. Well, it has been so fantastic having you with us. Thank you, Sammy and Dixie. I had such a great time speaking with you. You're an inspiration and truly a hero. And thank you so much. It was an honor.
Thank you.
Well,
we really
appreciate
everything that you do to help our troops and to help our nation. God bless you.
God bless you. Have a great evening.
Thank you so much. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you, Miss Dixie.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Bye-bye.
Have a great
Bye-bye.
Evening.
Bye-bye.
And listeners, thank you for listening in this evening. Be sure to join us next week, May 16th, 2016. On the show, we're featuring Susan Miller, who will be here to talk with us about what to do after the boxes are unpacked. It's going to be a great show. You don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to our resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets, such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. Have a great evening.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.